fast.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns, the man who stabbed an American University student on board a Red Line train back on the 4th of July in 2015, who's spending the next 35 years in prison. Kevin Sutherland's father outside the courthouse.
There's nothing but sadness in the court. I feel deep sadness for him. I feel deep sadness for his family. You know, he took one life and he destroyed his own, and he destroyed... You know, hundreds of people's lives have been affected by that.
Attorneys for 21-year-old Jasper Spires says he had been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. He's since been put on medication, but the court found Spires knew right from wrong when he stabbed Sutherland. Maryland's governor signing an executive order outlining the factors that have to be considered when juveniles sentenced to life are up for parole.
The order announced by Governor Larry Hogan requires that the head of the state weigh the offender's age at the time of the crime as well as demonstrated maturity and rehabilitation. Governor Hogan tells the Larry O'Connor Show,
"This one is to say, you know, we're going to set up a process that we will review certain things and take a look at, you know, through the process to approve paroles and probations."
Maryland law requires the governor to sign off on parole recommendations for lifers. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Medicaid expansion appears to be moving closer to reality in Virginia. A proposal to require Medicaid recipients to either be working or preparing themselves for employment passed a House committee unanimously on Friday. There are certain exceptions, including living in an area with an exceptionally high unemployment rate. Comes after Governor Ralph Northam announced he'd be willing to sign on to a work requirement in exchange for Medicaid expansion. Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norman tells the Richmond Times-Dispatch, "It's nice to have someone in the governor's office now that listens rather than lectures on the issue." The Democratic rebuttal to the Nunes memo will not be released, at least not yet. President Trump's legal team is citing national security concerns, sending it back to the House Intelligence Committee. Democratic member Eric Swalwell.
"The House Republicans have already put out a misleading memo, and so the only way to correct the record, to make sure that the FBI's reputation is not unfairly tainted, is to give the American people the full picture."
He says he'll be looking to hear from the DOJ on how the memo can be revised in order to see its release. Two more departures from the Trump administration. Rachel Brand, the third in command at the Department of Justice, is stepping down to take a job in the private sector, according to the Associated Press. The White House also says a member of the president's speech-writing team, David Sorensen, is resigning due to abuse allegations. Sorensen's denying the allegations in a statement to the Washington Post. Out in South Korea, the first gold of the 2018 Olympics has been awarded.
A cross-country skier from Sweden has the distinction of claiming the first gold, Charlotte Kalla. She was first to cross the finish line in the women's skiathlon. The silver medal went to Merit Bjørgen of Norway. It's her 11th career medal, making her the most decorated female Winter Olympian of all time.
It's correspondent Steve Kastenbaum in Pyeongchang. The Olympic spirit may be leading to some important diplomatic moves as well. South Korean President Moon Jae-in's accepting an invitation from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un for a summit. Vice President Mike Pence attending the Games doesn't appear to be changing his stance.
As this diplomacy was happening, you had Vice President Mike Pence visiting with North Korean defectors, speaking very strongly against North Korea. And of course, he was blasted in North Korean media today for doing that. They accused him of violating the Olympic spirit.
Correspondent Will Ripley there. Sports, the Caps over Columbus 4-2. Wizards visiting the Bulls tonight. College hoops, Georgetown hosts Seton Hall. Terps welcome Northwestern. And GW visits George Mason. We'll check traffic and weather next.
If you're one of the many WMAL listeners who received an Amazon Echo for Christmas, congratulations. Now you can listen to WMAL anywhere you want. Here's how to set up your Amazon Echo. First, enable WMAL on your device. Simply say, "Alexa, enable the WMAL skill." You only need to do it once. "Alexa, enable the WMAL skill." Then, whenever you want to listen, simply say, "Alexa, play WMAL." That's "Alexa, play WMAL." It's that simple. Thanks for listening to WMAL.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Experts warn of a stock market crash any day now, and you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings
again. But you don't have to lose a penny. There's a better, safer way to save for retirement, and you can learn about it in a free report. This method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
7:05 now as we head into the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. Good morning to James Stanley.
Thank you, Steve, and good morning. We have a couple of problems to tell you about, but really no major delay. It's a relatively nice, slow start to an early Saturday right before we get some pretty tough weather moving through. Beltway, outer loop, right around Rockville Pike, right shoulder block. That's a minor fender bender. Working now on getting that picked up, but the main lanes are moving okay through that stretch. We do have an accident on the shoulder of the eastbound lanes of Maryland 100. This is right at 97. No delays, though, from 97, from what we can tell. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
As James alluded to, the rain starts up right around midday today in the mid-40s for a high. Still raining tonight, staying in the 40s. Showers continue tomorrow with some thunderstorms possible, begin to the low 60s. Right now, 39 here in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
One of the difficulties in attempting to time the market is knowing when to sell. While exiting the market after it hits a record high may seem like a good strategy, who knows how many new record highs we might see in the next 12 months. Hi, this is Simon Hamilton from the Wise Investor Group. Don't let the whims of the stock market dictate your financial strategy. By working with your financial advisor, you can build a financial plan around what's really important, your specific financial goals.
Simon Hamilton and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company.
I'm an architect.
I'm a doctor.
Music producer.
I'm an accountant.
We're business owners.
When I found out that I could download big files.
Really big files.
Huge files.
CAD files.
X-rays.
Cloud files.
Audio files.
Zip files.
In seconds.
Not minutes.
In seconds.
And that all my employees.
With all their devices.
Would have more than enough bandwidth.
I said, wow.
Wow.
Boom.
Sign me up. That's a dream come true.
Introducing GigSpeed from Comcast Business. With download speeds up to 20 times faster than what most people have. Tons of bandwidth for everything your business does every day. And an affordable price. It's a small business owner's dream.
Now, I'm dreaming gig.
Really, really gig.
Comcast is building the largest gig speed network in the country. Now more small businesses in more places can dream gig. Comcast Business. Built for business. Visit dreamgig.com to learn more. Restrictions apply. May not be available in all areas. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM.
At AM 630.
WMAL.
It is hour two of the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us each week. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And John, a rough and tumble week for the White House. It ends in controversy with the president under fire for his response to the Rob Porter situation. Rob Porter's out, and there are question marks as to what's next for General John Kelly, the chief of staff. What do you know from the White House briefing room?
Well, I know this. If you listen to the punditocracy, the chattering classes, the talking heads on cable news, John Kelly is not far behind Rob Porter on the way out. But if you really talk seriously to people at the White House, and I'm talking about the staff as well as those who cover and take their duties as a White House correspondent seriously, you'll find that that's not the case at all. Yes, General Kelly, on advice of the White House counsel, permitted someone to work in a very important position as staff secretary to the president before his FBI background check was complete. When it finally was, it showed two former wives had charged him with spousal abuse, both verbal and physical. And we've all seen the famous picture of one former wife with bruises. Now, Again, I don't know the circumstances beyond this, and like the president, I know that Rob Porter has denied these charges. He was brought on because, by all accounts, people who knew him on Capitol Hill, who knew his father, Roger Porter, a much respected expert on the presidency and an historian, the young Rob Porter was a very capable person who would move the paper along as staff secretary. So when the president says he wishes him well and is promptly accused of insensitivity toward the ex-wives, remember, he is abjuring from comments on a situation that is disputed and in which he does not know the parties or the circumstances. Wisely, he chose not to comment, but again, he's going to take punishment for that in the media, just as I probably will for reporting it right now. Now, that said, Rob Porter is gone. John Kelly is not going anywhere. He gave up a career as a four-star general, wearing probably half the medals he deserves, to serve in the cabinet as Secretary of Homeland Security, and then go over to the White House and whip it in shape. No president in American history has had three top aides in barely over a year in the White House. And it is very unlikely that John Kelly would actually go or the president would let him go. Why? Because the question is, who would one get to be the third chief of staff in the second year of the Trump presidency? They talk about OMB Director Mick Mulvaney. He's doing fine in his job. They talk about former House Speaker John Boehner. He's doing fine golfing in Naples, Florida. The fact is, General Kelly is the right person in the right position, and he may say the wrong thing on occasion or make a misstep, as he did in not asking Rob Porter to leave. But he's right now the indispensable man in the Trump White House. I say he stays, and he's gotten that West Wing saluting him. Now let him get the president to salute him a few times.
So I guess the good news for the White House and the Republicans in all of the Rob Porter coverage was that you didn't hear anything about the government shutdown at midnight Thursday night, and you may not have heard that much about the budget deficit that they have once again increased the limits on, and a lot of criticism of the hypocrisy of the Republicans for increasing the debt that they criticized under the Obama administration. But we didn't hear much about that because we were all worried about Rob Porter.
Exactly, and it took the spotlight off Congress, where once again the government was set to shut down, and it actually did for a little while. But then members of Congress came back at 12:01 on Thursday night and began working into the wee hours of Friday morning, and they finally had a budget that they were able to pass. This proves Gizzy's law about government shutdowns. No one wants it because no one wants to have the blame for it. In the process, though, the House Freedom Caucus warned repeatedly that Republicans were breaking their campaign promise, that they were increasing the debt needlessly. General Jim Mattis got his much-desired increase for military spending, and the Secretary of Defense, however, would be the first to concede that government was going into debt again in record numbers to make this happen. So overall, to pass Trump measures and keep the debate going for what President Trump wants, they resorted to a tactic which Republicans had richly condemned President Obama for, raising the debt. This is not going to play well with the Republican grassroots.
We will continue our conversation with John Gizzy and find out who is running for president possibly in 2020. A former attorney general, that's next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. James Stanley is in the traffic center this morning. James?
Yeah, thank you, Rick, from the Indeed Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads this morning. Rain's not quite here yet, so the streets are okay for the most part, and traffic's kind of reflecting that. Really no major accidents to tell you about. We do still have a minor fender bender on the outer loop right around Rockville Pike, slowing things down a bit on the Beltway, but it's early light traffic. Not that big of a deal. Everything's off on the right shoulder. Just stay to the left through there. Here in the district, they've got a work crew set up on New Jersey Avenue Southeast. Both directions affected around Independence over to about C Street. We'll let you know when all of that gets picked up. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, we're looking for rain. High of 48. Rain on Sunday, high 61. Some Monday morning showers, high 45. Clouds on Tuesday with a high of 40. Partly cloudy Wednesday, high 58. And right now in Washington, we're at 38 degrees, and we are headed up to 48 this afternoon. 7:15, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
We continue our conversation with John Gizzi. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Well, there's much speculation about potential candidates for the year 2020. You were at a breakfast this week with a potential Democratic candidate, a former attorney general named Eric Holder. What did you glean from your time with Eric Holder?
That at age 67 and having never been elected to his local neighborhood council in the District of Columbia, Bill Clinton's former deputy attorney general and Barack Obama's U.S. attorney general hinted very strongly he would take a run at the presidency itself in 2020. He talked about an organization he has to help elect people who will end the practice of partisan gerrymandering of legislative and congressional districts. Among those are his close friend and former boss, Barack Obama, who are on board with him on this. He's tweeting. He's holding press briefings. He told me he had no problems appearing on Newsmax television. And finally, someone asked, would he run for office? And he said, I'll see if I have to add another chapter to my resume after November. And I said, for president? And he simply said, we'll see. I would say if he's not running for president, he's doing a great job of faking it.
John, so if you were watching C-SPAN, you watched 8 hours of Nancy Pelosi and I don't know how many hours of Rand Paul at the end of the week. What was the point and what did it accomplish?
Rand Paul was making his declaration of conscience that he got into politics because he did not like government deficits and he was opposing his own party on keeping the government running. In many ways, he was truly his father's political heir. Former Congressman Ron Paul was libertarian, and it was said he would vote no on everything, including adjournment. The son has carried his father's legacy on, and no doubt pleased those who got into politics because they admired the elder Paul. In the case of Nancy Pelosi, she began to make a declaration about the case for the Dreamers in the DACA legislation, to the point of even saying one of her grandchildren had a friend named Pablo from Guatemala, and she told her it would be a shame if Pablo were deported because I wish I had his skin and looked like him, which I think is pretty strange that someone would question the way God made them look and seem. But Nancy Pelosi aired it for all of us, starting off with a minute conversation, and in the one-minute segment of speaking to the House, she stretched it out to 9 hours. Incidentally, debate is so limited in the House, only two people can speak on ad infinitum, the Speaker of the House or the Minority Leader. But I would just say a speech like this, going on in this one subject, former Speaker Pelosi highlighted the difference between Republicans and Democrats. The Democrats were not adverse to shutting down the government if only they could take care of this situation with about 800,000 immigrants who are in the country illegally. This is the reason many Democrats are quietly suggesting, Nancy, isn't it about time that you go back, retire, and spend some time with those grandchildren you love to talk about?
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. You can go to Google and simply enter Gizzi on politics to follow John. Of course, he's on Twitter, too. John, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Have a pleasant weekend.
Shall do. It is 7:19. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, a very interesting conversation on automobiles in Michigan. And in the near future, somebody else may be driving your car, a.k.a. it's driving itself. That's coming up, and also we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and Cheryl Atkinson. Stay with us.
Hey there, it's Larry O'Connor, and for the past year I've been telling you about EMP 180 Weight Loss and all the great things they have to offer to anyone looking to begin their weight loss journey. But I was thinking, maybe the best way to describe EMP 180 Weight Loss would be to tell you what they're not. EMP 180 Weight Loss is not a workout program. It's not about one more rep or how often you're in the gym. In fact, the team at EMP 180 Weight Loss recommends you not focus on exercise, but rather on nutrition. EMP 180 Weight Loss is not a crash diet. There are no appetite suppressants, no intense calorie restrictions. You will not count your calories, and you will not go hungry. And most importantly, EMP 180 Weight Loss is not hard. In fact, it should be one of the easiest decisions you can make for yourself, for your family, and for your health. So take the weight off and keep it off for life. Schedule your consultation today. Locations in Tyson's Corner and Rockville. EMP180weightloss.com or call 855-888-0180.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and with advances in technology, the way we're using our cars today is changing dramatically and will change dramatically in the future. The changes fall under the term mobility, and we now drive connected vehicles that communicate with satellite navigation systems, cellular systems, and the internet. Mobility also encompasses self-driving cars, which are also known as autonomous vehicles. Michigan, of course, is known as the home of the automotive industry, and it's an honor to be joined by the governor of Michigan, Rick Snyder, joins us this morning. Governor, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Rick, and this is an exciting topic that has both huge opportunities and challenges, and it's new territory for all of us. This is something new, the whole concept of autonomous and connected vehicles, and you stated it well. The way I describe it to people is, in Michigan, we're very proud. We've been the capital of the global automotive industry for, you know, a century or more. But as a practical matter, there's a convergence going on, and it's really how the auto industry and the IT industry are coming together to create this new industry of mobility, which is about autonomous and connected vehicles. And how people use vehicles is changing dramatically. Just look at all the rideshare services going on today. Younger people in particular have a whole different perspective on transportation than my generation. And it's exciting. So I'm excited to say Michigan's at the forefront of this transformation going on. Is huge for our society. It will help both with saving lives, we'll have safer roads, we'll create opportunities, particularly for people that are seniors, people with disabilities, people with economic challenges to get transportation, and it'll allow us to use our infrastructure smarter and better. So this is a huge opportunity, and I'm excited to be here in Michigan pushing it forward.
Well, Michigan was one of the first states to legalize self-driving vehicles, and that's a giant step. What kind of hurdles did you encounter from the public in general, and were there any partisan hurdles you encountered on that?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the question. The good part is that there weren't major hurdles. This is something that I think we've got an appreciation for. We need to be planning for the future. So this was done with broad bipartisan support. It was nearly unanimous going through the Michigan legislature to support this. And it's to really say, how do we get these vehicles on the road in a safe fashion? So manufacturers and people in this industry can go out and put these vehicles out on the public roads in a safe fashion while we can get information. Because one of the keys to do this right for the long term is it's really going to be a combination of testing on closed-circuit courses. It's going to be a combination of public roads and then computer simulations. And we've had some great demos. Ford was doing a wonderful pilot with Domino's Pizza on using autonomous vehicles to deliver pizza to people instead of the traditional driver. And I ran into a couple of people that actually got their pizzas that way, and they thought that was pretty neat.
You know, we hear people talking about planning for your future. You have to plan for your state's future. Tell us about the Michigan Council on Future Mobility that you've created to address these huge changes that are coming.
Well, the Council on Future Mobility is to recognize it's not just about technology. Quite often people think about, you know, what's the computer power or the artificial intelligence involved, but this whole transition will raise a whole set of societal issues. How do you do insurance? How do you do law enforcement? How do you do many other topics? And some of these, we also need to recognize there are some challenges to society that will come about with autonomous and connected vehicles. For example, longer term, what's the role for delivery drivers and truck drivers if they're autonomous vehicles? So one of the things I'm telling people today is let's not wait for a crisis point sometime a decade or two out, but we should be having thoughtful discussions about how do we make sure people that have good careers now that may be in decline are getting the, you know, further on training or career opportunities in the emerging fields to make sure that they can have a great livelihood and have great careers. So we need to be responsible about this, not only in enjoying the benefits, but addressing the challenges.
So we might hear a two-minute news story on what happens to that delivery driver, or we may see a couple of paragraphs in print in the paper or online in an article. But how do you communicate how the effects are going to really affect our daily lifestyles? And with Michigan taking a leadership role in mobility, how do you communicate and inform companies and the public about the opportunities to participate in this?
Yeah, a lot of it is public communications. And so we created an initiative, we call it Planet M, either for mobility or Michigan. And it's really an umbrella to say, how do we go out and do public events? If you looked at it, I spent 3 days at CES. I spent 3 days at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. And then I was proud to come to the DC Auto Show because we need to have dialogue with the public in general and the industry to say, here are the opportunities, here are the challenges. As I mentioned, the opportunities are huge. Over 90% of accidents are caused by human error. If we can use this technology to drop that percentage significantly, it saves lives. So there are huge benefits. I mentioned the challenges with transformation of jobs that could be in decline, but it'll also be creating new jobs that don't even exist today. Fields like mobility technician, the person then in the car dealership, they'll be fixing radar instead of just your engine. So, again, there's pluses and minuses, but this is where we need the public dialogue, and that's why I appreciate being on your show.
Well, there are business opportunities, as you mentioned. Give us some of the stats to give us an idea of the magnitude of not only the automotive industry there, but how the mobility component is incorporated in the automotive industry.
Yeah, it's becoming a huge piece of it in terms of mobility as part of the overall auto industry, and we're proud of our role in Michigan. We build more cars than any other state, and 76% of all the research and development for the U.S. auto industry happens here in Michigan. But we're seeing a larger and larger percentage get into this new field. And two or three things we've done in particular is we've created some of the best test facilities in the world. We created the M-City at the University of Michigan several years ago. It was 30-some acres. This spring, we're going to be opening the American Center for Mobility, over 500 acres of closed-loop test track and computer simulation ability to show how this is going to transform things in a safe fashion. And then we do partnerships with the U.S. Army, different groups like that. We're changing our public road system. We're putting communications devices. We'll have over 350 miles of smart highway by the end of this year and 500 miles by the end of next year, where these connected vehicles will be able to talk to not only themselves but to the infrastructure. Again, this is great, exciting stuff.
It's interesting you take the rich history of the automotive industry in Michigan and the tradition, and you transition and stay on the cutting edge as you move into the future.
Yeah, well, that's the great part. We were proud to be part of the creation of this industry. To be open with you, at the end of the century, we sort of got distracted. We didn't pay attention to how the world was changing, and we went through some really rough years from 2000 to 2010, and we've made a huge comeback. We're the comeback state, and a large part of it is we're looking to things like mobility. We're the number one state for the creation of manufacturing jobs in the country. So there are many good things we're looking at. And again, it's how do you lead into the future, not how do you just keep up with the past.
And you were talking about Planet M, and I know you've come up with a great website. It's planetm.com, and it really explains the terms mobility and, you know, autonomous vehicles, a lot of the technologies, a lot of information there, not only for a consumer, but for somebody that is looking for a business opportunity and looking to get involved in these new technologies in Michigan. It is all there at planetm.com. Great website.
Yeah, well, I appreciate people going there. Thank you for mentioning that in particular, because again, when you have these transformations, these huge changes in not just our road system, but our society, there are a lot of concerns that people have, and it can be scary to people. So that's why we created the website, is to put it in easy-to-understand terms and to understand it's not going to happen overnight, but over the next decade or two, you're going to see huge transformations that, again, hopefully will make us safer, give opportunity to us, and actually allow us to use our infrastructure in a better fashion, because we need to improve on that topic.
Governor Rick Snyder, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
It's great to be with you, Rick.
7:30 News is next with Steve Burns. We're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and also be talking with Cheryl Atkinson.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington. 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. The Syrian military's denying a drone that was shot down in Israel was violating Israel's airspace. Syrian authorities say the drone was on a regular mission gathering intelligence on ISIS militants. The Syrian statement went on to threaten a tough and serious response for what it called a terrorist act. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now says at least 63 kids have died from the flu this season. The flu is the most widespread they have ever seen in the decade they've been tracking it. In Anne Arundel County alone, Linda Josephson in the Department of Health says they've seen two flu-related deaths this season, both adults over 65.
It has been very busy. A lot of cases of flu have been reported. This is peak flu season, so this generally happens, but it's heightened this year.
She says the average age of people visiting emergency rooms for flu-related symptoms in the county is 44. And one of the best deals in retail is coming to an end.
L.L. Bean announced that their long-standing policy of unlimited returns is ending. The Maine-based company reports a small but growing number of customers have been misinterpreting their guarantee, seeking refunds for clothes that were heavily worn or those purchased from third parties like yard sales and thrift stores. L.L. Bean says it will honor returns up to a year from the purchase date, accompanied by proof of purchase. However, after 1 year, the outdoor clothing retailer says they'll work to replace products with manufacturer defects.
John Stolness on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, it was the Caps over Columbus 4-2. Wizards visiting the Bulls tonight. College hoops, Georgetown hosts Seton Hall today. Terps welcome in Northwestern, and GW visits George Mason. We'll check traffic and weather next.
Now you can listen to WMAL at home, at work, or anywhere in the world on your Amazon Echo device. For one-time setup, say Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Once that's done, whenever you want to listen, simply say Alexa, play WMAL. More details at WMAL.com.
If you're still looking for the perfect Valentine's gift that's going to check all the boxes, take it from me, Larry O'Connor. You have to visit 1-800-Flowers.com. With beautiful bouquets and deals to match, winning Valentine's is easy with 1-800-Flowers. Right now, when you order early, you can get 18 red roses for only $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. This is an unbelievable offer from 1-800-Flowers. 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. It's the perfect reward for thinking ahead. Valentine's Day is only 5 days away, so take advantage now. Make sure you lock in this offer. Only good while supplies last. To order 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon and enter the code Larry. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com, code Larry.
7:33 now on WMAL, heading back into the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center with James Stanley.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, and things still moving along this morning for the most part at posted speeds all across the area, including on the Beltway Inner Loop and Outer Loop. We do have a little slowdown, though, an accident in the clearing stages on the Outer Loop right around Rockville Pike. It's off of the right shoulder. The lanes are moving fine, though. It's early. Here in the district, things look good. No slowdowns to report except for some road work that's going on New Jersey Avenue Southeast between Independence Avenue to about C Street. All of the lanes are blocked through there, but you'll be able to see how to get around that. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
east. Rain should start up right around midday today in the mid-40s. Still raining tonight, staying in the 40s. Showers continuing tomorrow with some thunderstorms possible as we get to the low 60s. We're at 40 right now in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Errett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. One of the things I value most in life is time. Time to spend with my daughter, time to spend with family, and the time I put into my company that's reinventing the way women color their hair. The busiest, most successful women I know use Madison Reed, the amazing hair color hack. In under an hour and for less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair with an ammonia-free formula. You'll look like you just came from a salon, but the reality is you have more me time to do what you love. Things get busy. Let us take care of you and your hair. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code QUALITY. That's code QUALITY. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
If you had any idea how absolutely insane the stock market is.
Unconventional wisdom is sweeping the nation. And you are next. The Del Wamsley Show, Sundays at 2 on WMAL.
Decision makers, let WMAL help take your business to the next level. Don't wait. Get your message in front of Washington's most affluent, well-educated, and extremely loyal listening audience. To advertise with WMAL, visit WMAL.com/advertise. Nothing in the market offers better ROI. So connect with us and let's grow your business.
This is Chris Plant. Visit WMAL.com/advertise to partner with WMAL.
Superpowers of Today presents Mr. Zeropia, who has many amazing superpowers.
Not really.
But you're super strong.
No.
So, Mr. Zeropia, what is your superpower?
A 0% APR credit card.
No way!
Way? My Commonwealth One Federal Credit Union Visa Signature Rewards Card gives me 0% APR on purchases, cash advances, and balance transfers.
Are you the only one with this power?
Heck no. All Commonwealth One members have it. But with no capes attached.
Let Zero be your hero at Commonwealth One. Get an introductory 0% APR with a Visa Signature Rewards Card for the first 6 months with no annual or balance transfer fees. And earn points for cash, travel, and merchandise. Visit cofcu.org/radio or call 703-823-5211. Offer valid through April 30th. Eligible to new cardholders only. Visit cofcu.org/radio for full details. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal opportunity lender.
7:36 Saturday morning updates, WMAL. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and he is the advising producer on Chain of Command and a CIA-trained intel operative. And, Tony, it is great to have you with us this morning.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me. Good day.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, and in just a moment or so, I want to talk to you about the latest skirmishing between Israel and Iran. But the big news out of Washington right now is the FISA memo, the Democrat memo, that was sent to the White House, and the White House is suggesting that this needs to be revised with input from the Department of Justice, and the White House planning to send it back over to the Intel Committee, and of course, that's creating a furor. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that whole process.
Well, I think notably the Republicans followed the process and what they put out, and it's available. Anybody listening to us now can go look at it. It shows a series of notations, if you will, a timeline showing different events relating to how information, what some information was used to provide and how it was provided to the FISA courts. That's it. Everybody knows about the FISA court, that fact is not classified. And the going through and essentially talking about, you know, after the fact, how certain collection authorizations or stipulations were made to the judge to make the decision for collection is not classified. That's not what I'm hearing the Democrats did. The Democrats essentially placed in their memo a number of poison pills, which really did trip a review. And, you know, President Trump is not stopping declassifying it. What he is saying is there's things in this memo which I believe are sources and methods and would compromise capabilities. So he's kicking it back, and Department of Justice and FBI and all the folks involved should look at it. So I do believe this will be eventually declassified, but I do believe the Democrats did the very thing here to put this poison pill in it for purposes of the drama we're now seeing.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about this notion of a trap, and the Democrats were right. Setting a trap for the president.
Right.
And, you know, the president had really no choice. It's not like he could avoid that trap.
Right. Well, and so he's done what is necessary to essentially look at it and say, hey, there's a trap here. We don't want to walk into it. By the fact he's saying, let's look, you know, you need to go look at this and relook what you're saying and why you're saying it. Because clearly, in my judgment, I think the public, again, will come to see that there's not, you know, the Democrats are going to dig themselves in a deeper hole. Remember, the entire committee, to include the Republicans, voted for the release of the memo. The Republicans aren't against this coming out. I think anybody with a rational mind is going to look at it and say, you know, if there's sources and methods here, we have to take those out first.
Okay, and the other thought that I wanted to run past you in all of the surveillance stories this week, if you watch the Fox News Channel, often the lead story has to do with more texts coming out or more information that's coming out about Uranium-1 or whatever. That's the lead story at Fox. You don't see that over at CNN. You don't see that at MSNBC. It all depends on what you watch as to what you think is going on in the world.
Yeah, for example, MSNBC actually published as new information about voter data bank, you know, voter databases being probed by the Russians prior to the election. And this was reported, Rick, as brand new breaking news. This has been in the public domain for nearly a year. And again, it's deceptive reporting. It gives one the impression, if you had just come into it, that, oh my goodness, the Russians actually had hacked into the election. And so this is where some of the media continues to be, in my judgment, completely not only dishonest, we're talking about, you know, what was called yellow journalism, where they're actually trying to create the news by misreporting it. So.
All right, North Korea, South Korea. We see the moves by North Korea, the latest invitation for the South Korean President Moon to actually go to a summit meeting in North Korea. And how does all the gamesmanship that North Korea is playing, not in the Olympics, but in the the political side of it, how
right.
does that play out for us?
Well, I mean, there's multiple levels here. I mean, and one of the, you know, people may have missed this a little bit, but, you know, if the North Koreans are actually participating in the Olympics, they aren't going to attack them. So, you know, I mean, that's a good news. No terror from North Korea. I don't think they're that stupid. And this has provided some level of diplomatic access and discussion. Rick, this is one of the things that people don't necessarily see, is that it's very hard to maintain any sort of productive diplomatic contact with the North Koreans because they are truly a hermit kingdom. They really are hard to have contact with. And then when you have contact with them, normally they're just sending propaganda. So if we can have a productive dialogue that actually will allow for the two cultures to see what's going on, I think that's the best bet. We have to remember that much of the Soviet Union was defeated during the Cold War because the people of the Soviet Union started figuring out they were being lied to about America and the Europeans. All of a sudden, I think one of the biggest blows to the Soviet Union was when they decided to show Dallas on TV. When it completely, you know, backfired, they thought that everybody would somehow believe that, oh, you know, Americans are terrible, and all of a sudden everybody wanted to be American. So this is good. If we can open the cultural access from the south to the north, I think it'll help create conditions for the people of the north to recognize how badly their conditions are, and hopefully push their government to change the regime.
Okay, so this morning Israel says an Iranian drone use is, quote, playing with fire. Israeli jets went in and launched attacks against Iranian targets and 8 Syrian sites. Is this business as usual, or is there something significant here?
Yeah, no, look, the Syria is a dangerous place right now. I mean, we're talking about airspace being very carefully managed. You know, we have aircraft there. The Russians have aircraft there. The Iranians have stuff there. Syria has it. So this is not unusual, and the Israeli aircraft actually made it back to Israel before it came down. I mean, it was shot, you know, it was hit over Syria. So the honest answer is I expect more of this to happen. When you have that many forces in close proximity like that, fighting over essentially a space not much bigger than Connecticut or one of the New England states, you're going to have bad things happening. So, you know, I think it's inevitable that you're going to see this. I don't think it's a big deal. And plus, the Israeli pilots actually were able to eject.
And, Tony, of course, you are the advising producer on Chain of Command. It airs on the National Geographic Channel again on Monday night at 9 o'clock. And it's a fascinating look into the operations of the Pentagon, the U.S. military, not only from the technical side and the strategic side, but from the personal side. And what's coming up on Monday night's episode?
Well, this episode coming up Monday is actually going to be a kind of a deep dive into Africa and Afghanistan. It's called Crossroads because one of the things notable is that, for those of who have been following the series, we've been able to document the push back of ISIS in Iraq, the physical fight against them and pushing them out. And we're just going through the retaking of Mosul right now as part of the storyline. And in this case, now they're talking about the crossroads by the fact that ISIS has essentially metastasized. You defeat it here and most other places. So it's been able to establish very strong roots in Africa and in Afghanistan. And so much of the focus of the last few episodes, which is episode number 5 of the 8, so we're coming up on the rest of the story, talking about all these deep dive things, and we have some secrets coming up regarding Africa, which will be contained in the last two episodes. So,
wow.
You know, I think people will learn a great deal, and we've been able to bring in some amazing insight on how life is for those who have to sacrifice to go do the hard things in defending the United States.
Chain of Command, Monday night, 9 o'clock, National Geographic Channel. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, thank you as always.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You bet. 7:46, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up next, we'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson. But first off, we are going to talk with James Stanley. He's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Yeah, Rick, thank you. And from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads again this morning. Still not a lot going on. Just getting word of a side street crash on Ox Road in Virginia. This is 123 for those of you that look at the number. Northbound right around Pope's Head. It's not a serious crash, so hopefully that'll be picked up pretty soon. Through Maryland, we're seeing some delays on westbound 100 just past Coca-Cola Drive. Left side taken out. That's a work zone this morning. And on the Capitol Beltway, the outer loop right around Rockville Pike at exit 34. An accident off of the right shoulder is just waiting on a wrecker. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And for today, we are looking for rain. Rain will continue through Sunday. We do have somewhat more pleasant temperatures here in the Washington area shaping up. 48 for the high today, 61 for the high tomorrow. Monday, look for morning showers, the high of 45. 38 right now, and we are heading up to 48, and it's 7:47 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we've seen the week of discussion about the FISA memos, what's going on inside the FBI at the highest levels. And it is great to be joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She is the host of Full Measure. It airs every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on ABC7. Cheryl, thank you for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Investigating the investigators is one of your topics tomorrow on Full Measure. The more we see these texts and what's in these memorandums, the more troubling this scandal becomes.
Well, and it's not just that. I think people don't know that there's a longstanding Inspector General investigation and congressional investigations into all kinds of behavior involving FBI and DOJ officials, how they handled the Russia probe, how they handled the Hillary Clinton misuse of classified information probe, how they've done things along the way. So that's not getting as much attention, and yet it's really turning up a lot of a root under the plants, you could say, I guess, as the dirt turns over here.
Well, you know, you wrote the book The Smear, and you talk about the media and the biases in the media. It's fascinating because when you see the lead story on Fox being the latest revelations of the stroke page texts between the two FBI agents who were such fans of Hillary Clinton. That's the lead story on Fox, but you turn to CNN or one of the major networks and there's no mention of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is like such a disparity in how news is reported today. I think people recognize that. I think even maybe 5-6 years ago, the stories would have been much more similar, because a big story is a big story across the board, that even when news outlets didn't like, maybe philosophically, the way the news was going, eventually they would kind of get on board when the story got big enough. And that's not necessarily happening today. Everybody's picking a side, and they report their take or their organization's take rather than sort of a fulsome picture of what's going on. And I think a lot of important material is really getting lost.
Well, I had CNN on for a couple of hours in the background on Friday afternoon, and it was all Rob Porter investigation all the time. That was the only story that was happening in the world for about 2 hours on CNN, and maybe longer because I turned it off. That's all they talked about.
Well, you know, I clicked on the panel discussion on Fox as I was switching through today, and that's what they devoted quite a bit of time to. And I'm not suggesting that doesn't deserve some attention. But this is, in my view, there is very important stuff going on that has implications for allegedly bad actors inside our intelligence communities and things they've done over the past 10 or 20 years, not just during campaign 2016, which could be one of the biggest stories of our time. I really believe that. Of course, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody reports it or nobody hears it, did it really fall? But that's just my view, that this is a huge story with far-reaching implications.
And what was so striking about CNN was it was the drop everything, wall-to-wall coverage. There's nothing else happening in the world for 2 hours. Well, moving on, we've seen changes in the Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare. And what is the current status for people who are actually out there trying to buy insurance?
Well, you know, one thing we learned was that even though you're forced to have health insurance and you may have that plastic card in your wallet, it doesn't mean you can afford the health care. You may not be able to afford your premium. You may have deductibles so high that you can't afford to go to the doctor with your insurance. So what we found is that millions of people and quite a few doctors are trying these new models that go around the traditional health insurance system, and some of them are very happy with it. We profile three different models. One of them is a religious model that you know, people share costs with people of like-minded ethical beliefs. One is sort of a direct physician pay model where some doctors let you, instead of paying insurance or dealing with insurance, they save a ton of money not having to hire people to deal with paperwork. They let you pay them directly, maybe a monthly membership fee of 40, 50, 60 bucks a month for all the primary care that you need. And a lot of times that even includes the tests and the blood work and so on, or maybe a flat annual fee. So instead of paying deductibles, you're paying it directly to the doctor. Things cost less. I mean, they were quoting an EKG they can give you for $25. They were quoting blood lab work instead of $300 from the exact same lab, they can actually charge you what it costs, 30, 40 bucks. So this would theoretically reduce healthcare costs across the board, you know, for the whole economy. If we could figure out how to make stuff like that work on a big scale, it may not be right for everybody, but we profile people who are happy with these alternative models.
A lot of attention, of course, is being paid to border security and, of course, drugs coming into this country across the border. But what about drugs coming into the country through the mail?
Apparently, it's super common that foreign drug dealers, particularly from China, have figured out that we do not screen our U.S. mail very carefully. The FedEx and UPS haven't implemented these special requirements as required under the law where they are better at screening it. The U.S. Postal Service says it can't for some reason. And we reported the story with Josie Sturman maybe a year ago, and she's updating us because there's been a new hearing talking about how prevalent it is and how the U.S. Postal Service, for its own reasons, still cannot seem to get a handle on this. So it's a very common way foreign illegal drugs are being moved just through the mail.
And one of the things I enjoy most about having you on the show, Cheryl, is that you're covering stories that are really important stories that are not being seen or heard in other places. And as I looked over the, you know, your preview for tomorrow, you have a story on Afghan military trainees who come to the United States for training and they disappear here.
Can you believe that? I was interviewing the Special Inspector General here in the U.S. for Afghanistan. And we spend billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, helping Afghanistan. Part of that is we bring some of their military fighters here to the U.S. to train at our military bases to hopefully learn how to fight against the Islamic extremists over there. Well, unfortunately, not just a few, some of them have gone AWOL and disappeared from these military bases and are presumed somewhere we don't know where in the United States, and that's considered a big national security risk. The Inspector General says he's having a hard time getting other government officials to get on board with better screening and things that he thinks need to be done to change that.
It's all on Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning on ABC7, of course, here in Washington, and throughout the day on News Channel 8. Thank you, Cheryl. It's always great to have you with us.
Thank you.
7:54, Saturday Morning Updates, WMAL.
Join Caring for Others and the Roselle Center for Healing for Have a Heart 2018. This food drive supports food for others. Through February 17th, make a $50 donation to Caring for Others, and in exchange, the Roselle Center for Healing will offer you a choice of a new patient chiropractic or acupuncture evaluation valued at $225. To learn more and to donate, visit cfocharity.org. That's cfocharity.org or call 703-698-7117.
At the Roselle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Attend Circadian Clock, Understanding How the Body Cycles, on Wednesday, February 21st at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com.
Are you thinking of selling your home? Hey, Larry O'Connor here to tell you how to do it the right way. Don't just call any real estate agent. No, you can call one of the very best that's top-ranked and proven. Call my friends Sarah and Debbie Reynolds of the Reynolds Team with Keller Williams. Sarah and Debbie have over 5,300 highly qualified home buyers looking to buy homes in the D.C. area. This is how they're able to sell homes fast and for top dollar. As a matter of fact, Sarah and Debbie sell homes on average 3 times faster and for 6% more money than the average agent. Get this, Sarah and Debbie sold Walter and Paula's home for $15,000 over the asking price. Needless to say, they were impressed with the outcome. If Sarah and Debbie don't sell your home, they'll buy it at a price acceptable to you. Guaranteed. Do it the right way and call Sarah or Debbie direct at 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Errett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. One of the things I value most in life is time. Time to spend with my daughter, time to spend with family, and the time I put into my company that's reinventing the way women color their hair. The busiest, most successful women I know use Madison Reed, the amazing hair color hack. In under an hour and for less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair with an ammonia-free formula. You'll look like you just came from a salon, but the reality is you have more me time to do what you love. Things get busy. Let us take care of you and your hair. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code QUALITY. That's code QUALITY. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program that's been around for 25 years, and they have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $1 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money. Think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have a lot to offer? Well, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-41-BIBLE. That's 855-41-BIBLE. 855-41-B-I-B-L-E.
Don't fear running out of money in retirement. Listen to the Savvy Investor Radio with Mike Kinnett of ProStatus Financial Advisors Group and enjoy your retirement. The Savvy Investor Radio, Sundays at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. on WMAL.
The National Mall, a destination for democracy in action.
Wouldn't it be cool if there was a radio station like that?
Oh, yeah.
105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Did you know it's National Time Management Month? Well, here's a great tip for managing your time. Wherever you're driving, don't park. Spot Hero. With Spot Hero, you can literally save hours by not wasting time searching for a parking spot. And you'll get an incredible price. Just search and choose from tons of options near your destination and pay using the app to reserve your spot. Then head straight there. No more running late. Plus, take $10 off your first spot with promo code FAST. That's promo code FAST.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.